celebration of the formation of the Alumni Council. It is my great pleasure at this time to introduce to you the president of our university, who will make his final State of the University address to this body, Dr. Bode. Certainly in hindsight, it was obvious, but some people looked at it going forward. So I have come up with any model you wanted to justify why your asset, why these derivatives were fairly valued. And they said, I can assure you that making errors in the derivatives business has not been symmetrical. Almost invariably, if they believed in the trader who signed a multi-million dollar bonus, either the CEO who wanted to report impressive earnings, or both. The bonuses were paid, the CEO profit from his options. Only much later did shareholders learn that reported earnings were a sham. And then he goes on in the last paragraph to say, the derivatives genie is well, this is like 2002, is now well out of the bottle. And these instruments will almost certainly multiply variety and number until some event makes their toxicity clear. Central banks and governments have so far found no effective way to control or even monitor the risks posed by these contracts. In my view, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, carrying dangers that, while now latent, are potentially lethal. I just learned there's a thing called a credit default swap. I know Chuck knows all about credit default swaps. These are derivatives that basically guarantee risk, guaranteed lenders. And we had one $1 trillion of credit default swaps. And these are things that the buyers sell, and who knows who holds them. So, you know, when you get back and say, well, how is Hopkins doing? How are we going to fare through all this? And the answer is, I haven't a clue. Well, I do have a clue. I do have a clue, and it's not positive. But let me go back, before talking specifically about Hopkins financially, because I really don't know how all this is going to end. I don't think any of us knows where this is going to end up. To talk about the word value, because I think as a nation, we have lost our emphasis on creating value. And if you think about it, whatever we do, whether it's in our personal life or our professional life, we should try to add value. And over the last few years, we've had a lot more students who wanted to go to Wall Street. And some of them I have a chance to talk to, and I say, don't go to Wall Street, because much of what's going on Wall Street is not about adding value. It's about a zero-sum transaction where somebody wins and somebody loses and you collect a fee. And that's not what Wall Street should all be all about. And Wall Street does create true value in financing companies. But I talked to a venture capitalist last year. He said there was one IPO for a private company in Wall Street last year. That's not the fault of Wall Street per se. It's the fault of our Congress by enacting Smart Things Office, which made it very difficult for small companies to go public. That's a different issue. But in the end, everything we do should create some positive value. Otherwise, you know, it's just a lose-lose proposition. I had one student who went to Wall Street and I advised what she went and she made a mistake. She used to work in the recreation center as a volunteer, a very fit person. And before all this was over, about a year ago, I got an email from her and she said, you know, you were right, Dr. Murray, and I decided to become a yoga instructor. And she's now studying to be a big guru. And I say that not facetiously. I mean, you may laugh at yoga, but in fact, you know, she's creating positive value for people's lives, and she loves what she's doing. And I think it's really, in the end, it's about if you create value for other people, whether it's on an individual or it's in the aggregate, you will feel good about what you're doing. So I love to come to work because we are creating value for our students and for society, whether it's providing services or whether it's providing discovery and knowledge that people can employ. What's happening in Wall Street to me is the death of innovation. And innovation is what drives our country. And unless we get a balanced budget, unless we balance Medicare, control health care expenditures, unless we reduce the trade deficit, we're not going to be able to create value by innovating and funding the kinds of things that we need. We need to fund education, we need to fund discovery, we need to make it easy for people with creative ideas to start companies and to get them funded and do those things that have made our country successful. We need to take risk. One of the things I say to my students is don't worry, and this is advice to parents, don't worry about the fact that your children don't listen to you. How many of you have children that don't listen to you? Worry about the fact that the children are watching what you do. God, I think
corporations have done, and I'm not talking about the education, because we're not a corporation business as far as education goes, but a lot of the support groups we do can be improved and operated more efficiently. And I think there'll be more opportunities to develop innovative partnerships, not only at home and abroad. We are in a global search for talent. It's no longer a local talent search, and we are struggling, even though we are probably the most global of any university operating in 80 countries around the world. We still struggle to understand what does globalization mean for the university. This year, we got three MacArthur Genius Awards, two of them to faculty. Peter Provost, who was a physician at the School of Medicine, who has been a national and international leader in patient safety, has led some incredible advances in how to make hospitals safer places for you and me when we go as patients. Adam Reese, who is a professor in physics and astronomy at the Prager School of Arts and Sciences, is the discoverer of dark matter. He's an expert in dark matter. Dark energy, right? And the thing I know is you can't see it. You can't. Can you feel dark energy? But he is an incredibly acclaimed physicist. And the third is a woman, Shrimanda Adichie, who was a master's degree recipient in 2004 for writing seminars, who is an acclaimed author. So, this illustrates, I think, two things. One is that we have some pretty bright, interesting people, but more importantly, look at the breadth. There's a university, one thing that we've got an author, and then we've got somebody dealing with the darkest secrets of the universe, and then we've got somebody who's dealing with the more prime medical issues, how do you make the hospital safer? And, the thing that I have an opportunity to do, and none of you have an opportunity to do, is to see the entire university. All the ways that we touch people's lives, how we take their minds and let them fly. Now, in times of trouble, I don't know what might happen, but I am reminded by a quote by Alfred P. Sloan, who was the legendary leader of General Motors, who said, he said, you can take away the buildings, you can take away the plant and equipment, he said, but if you need me and people 5 years later, I'll be back. And, it's all about people, and we have an extraordinary group. And I mentioned the MacArthur winners. We got an award from the Truman Foundation. The Truman Foundation awards grants that are somewhat like the Rhodes Scholarship, except you have the Truman Fellowship that pays a year of study. Last year we had two Truman winners, and we received an award from the Truman Foundation because we were one of the largest over time recipients of Truman Fellowships. Again, just another indicator of the power of the kind of students we have. We have the 19s here, and provost, they cover your ears. I think we have the best academic leadership team in the country from the provost and deans on down. We have superb administrators. And to me, the best part of my job is to see people rise up the ranks of faculty, staff, academic leadership, and go on to take other leadership positions, whether it's university presidents or chairs of departments or winning Nobel Prizes. And so I think you can rest assured that Hopkins is doing extraordinarily well. You can probably be sure that we'll have some troubled times ahead. I think with the leadership, the commitment of the people, I think we will sail through that and survive and thrive, and I am optimistic that we'll actually move up in whatever ranking system you want to pick. The reason I'm sure of that is because Michael Bloomberg has told me that he is now prepared to buy U.S. News and World Report. So, Matt, I want to thank you so much for your leadership, for your friendship and support. It means so much to me, but it means even so much more to Johns Hopkins. So thank you, and good luck and Godspeed. Thank you. students just like to take questions. That's what I get to ask. If you have questions, I'd be happy to. I don't know if that's like this. Two things Dean Hopkins is very best besides lacrosse. Thank you. education. Works extensively with the Baltimore City Public Schools. We have a program for the Teach for America. Kids who come can get a credential while they're working in the teaching in Baltimore City Schools. So we have lots of things going on. But in the end, it's not sufficient. We can help a lot, but we have to get back to educating our young people, because 90% of the jobs that are available for students who can either enter college or at least have graduated from high school. I was riding my bike over East Baltimore, and I got in the neighborhood of a coffee machine there one day, and there were a bunch of warehouses. And this big sign, it said, I forgot what it said, electricians or machinists want. And here we are in some of the worst urban blight, and 40% unemployment rate among inner city residents age 20 to 40, and jobs go vacant. I mean, it's not that hard, except we have to have the will to turn it around. I think it goes back to this issue of taking our belt and saying, look, we need to do what's right and forget all the other things that have been involved. Every day. You know, I mean, it's a very different ourselves against other universities. I'm not saying we're the best, but I'm sure there are other places that, that do things better than we do. I know there are other places that do things better, and we try to find out where they are and copy what they do. So, financial aid is a big challenge, and my great fear is that if you can decide to have tuition, you can set tuition wherever you want because the actual cost of education is far much, far greater than tuition. But my fear was that we would just arbitrarily cut tuition in half, and then all of a sudden we'd be sitting there, just in that position. Two people up there. Talk about the great things that Hopkins students do. One of the graduate students in biomedical engineering which is a magnet. It's supposed to be a magnet school for health sciences, but in fact has probably better known for its basketball team and not for its graduation rate. And this woman graduate student said, give me 10 of your worst students. I've got a group of students who help tutor them. The principal said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, I'll give you 20. So they took 20 students who were failing and tutored them, and they got like a 70% success rate not only getting them through high school, but a number of those kids went on to junior college or four-year colleges. So we know how to do it. It's not hard. It's just a question of putting the resources and having the will to do it and depoliticizing the school. That's what Michael Bloomberg is fighting so hard to do in New York City. Yes. We'll take one more after that. That's such an interesting question. I'll ask Steve Kopp to respond to that.
Concerns the current practice we have of having a pass-fail of satisfactory, unsatisfactory cover grade policy in the fall of the freshman year. And this is a practice where students earn grades in the fall of the freshman year but do not report on a transcript. And we're re-examining that. We do that periodically. I think it has pluses and minuses. The pluses is it takes a certain amount of pressure off the students, but there are minuses as well. Two of them are the first that it's not clear whether we are helping students adjust or delaying their adjustment by not having the grades be reported. And the second is there's great pressure on that system from students who do well and want those grades reported to medical schools and other professional schools. And we can't have a covered grade system that doesn't actually cover all the grades. Otherwise, if you can electively uncover them, then they're not covered. So we're examining that. I don't know where that's going to come out, but we're going to engage the students in that conversation and the faculty, and we'll do our best to arrive at a consensus on it.
One last question. Here's one. I'll take one on that second. Sorry. In the words of one of my fellow university presidents, when I asked him that question, I said, he's retiring less. Thank you very much. For this award. I will always cherish it. I will say I'm forever a Blue Jay. always easy. She's been involved in a number of projects at Hopkins, as well as hostess for many of the events that we do. And I think it's been one of the fun things of the job, has been able to do things together as a team. We've enjoyed incredible friendship and support from all of you. It's amazing how nice everybody is at Hopkins, and that's one of the things that I try to tell other people when they read about things that happen at other universities, how people at Hopkins are so supportive of the university and supportive of the leadership. Even when I screw up, and I screw up more than I need to, but you all sort of run out of your way to make me look good. So I thank you for your support. As Milton Eisenhower always said, it's a short distance from who's who or who's he. And so I'm sure when you get the next president, whoever she or he may be, you'll be saying, who was the last president? You remember who the last president was. So thank you all, and I look forward to working with you in years ahead.
Words or two.